guys don't know me, I'm the children's pastor. My wife and I are over for the kindergarten through fifth over there. So I'm used to talking back and forth with them, having lots of interruptions. So if you guys just pretend like you like it, we'll get out of here. We'll go to lunch early. Because I'm used to some shorter attention spans. So I'm liking the sound. I'm hungry. I don't know about you guys. So, but we're going to learn, right? We're going to get some. So when I was praying about today and what I wanted to talk about, I don't think you have to look too far to kind of see the world that we live in is a very, right now there's a lot of division, not just in our country, in the world, everywhere. And there's a lot of, it just seems like if you look just in the natural even, our world is becoming a place where division and strife and anger is one of the most, one of the easiest things I feel like to fall into, even with myself. I know Pastor Tim talks about punching people a lot, so I know he feels that too. But I really wanted to talk today just about love. And I think, you know, Jesus tells us it's one of the most important, it is the most important commandment, right? If we want to turn to, let's just look at what love is. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, and we're going to go through 7 if you guys want to turn there. When we talk about it with the kids, we say, big 13, little 1. So let's look here. Let's see what love is. And this is a good, this is actually what Christine and I base our marriage off of. This is a great marriage verse, a good family verse, just a good life verse in general. It says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So when we look at that, that's pretty deep, right? If you could just go where it says love is patient, love is kind, I think that's, I want to say 4, maybe? So if we just break it down, right? Love is patient and kind, right? I know I struggle sometimes with patience. It's one of those things to where sometimes stuff just rubs you the wrong way. Sometimes you don't want to wait for stuff, whether it's tithes and offerings. I know a lot of times Christine and I have been given, and it's like, man, God, where is it right now? That's the patient part. I love God enough to trust Him, right? Love is not jealous or boastful or proud, which that's something right now in our country that is really pushed into a pedestal. You know, you're almost pushed to be proud. You know, you want to be the top dog, whether it's that business job, whether whatever it is. So if we just go to 5, it's not rude. It doesn't demand its own way. You know, thinking about marriage, a lot of times I like to think I'm right a lot. So sometimes I have to, you know, it doesn't demand your own way, right? It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. So that's a hard thing too, right? I think a lot of times when I get wronged or when I get hurt, not keeping record of it, that doesn't mean that we let people manipulate us or take advantage of us. But it also doesn't mean like, oh, I remember what you did 5 years ago. I'm never going to forgive you. I think that's easy to fall into, right? So that's what love is. Okay, so now that we know what love is, let's go to Mark 12, verse 29. And so basically, I like to do like the whole Bible verse thing, and then we'll just explain it through. That's what works with the kids. I feel like if we can get it for kids, we'll get it everywhere. So Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord your God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Okay? The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And it's not talking, we tell the kids, right? It's not talking about your neighbor down the street. We're talking about other people, other Christians. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. We talk a lot about in Christianity about, what being a good person is, right? And, you know, if you talk to someone who's maybe not Christian, they'll tell you, you know, there's all these rules and that just doesn't fit with me. I got all these rules and I'm just not that person. I don't want to be like that. Well, you just show them this verse, right? So none of those commandments, if you love other people and you love God, you'll never sin. Because the root of all sin is selfishness. If you think about it, any sin that you can think of, it's always about me. Okay? If I'm putting other people and I'm putting God before me, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to talk bad about you or gossip about you if I'm putting you and your feelings above what I want to do. Because I'm not putting what I feel above you. So then let's go to Romans 13, 8 verses 10, or Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we think of murderers, right? We think throw them in a cell. Let them rot, right? God says sin is sin. God says if you're not loving your neighbor, it's the same thing. But he forgave us for that, right? So I think it's easy when we think about it just in a human mindset, right? When something's wrong, done wrong to us, we want to get back. Even if it's just you're posting something on Facebook and someone comes at you sideways, right? And you're like, hey, you know what? Maybe I need to rewind and not send that. There's been a couple comments that I've had on there that I just don't send. My wife talks sense into me. But I've had them in the log. I pull up my phone later on and I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't say that. Okay, so we're good. But I think it's easy to fall into that trap of getting offended, right? And I think our world right now, more than anything, And you know, Richard talked about us, you know, being a light, right, at Westview Church. People need love right now, guys. We need to hold people accountable. We want to show people, we want to be a representation of Christ, right? But right now, people need love. I think we live in a world that's so hateful, you know, with all the, you know, we have all this political stuff going on. You know, if you're this, if you're that, if you're, you know, if you have, and this might step on some people's toes. So if you have problems, my name is Tom Wassinger. So, but, we have a lot of situations and I hear Christians saying, you know, if you've had an abortion or if you're, gay or if you're, you know, pick your favorite sin. If you've killed someone, if you lie, whatever it is, then, oh, well, that's the unpardonable sin. You're going to hell. That's not what it is. Now, I'm not saying those things are right by any means, but we have to love those people. Those people know in their heart that they're doing something wrong. Okay? Those people, that's conviction. Okay? When we're hounding them, that's condemnation. God doesn't condemn, he convicts. And the difference is when you think about it, if you think about, and it's weird because now I'm preaching from the parent perspective, whereas I'm usually coming from the kid. But as a parent, when you love your kid, right? Your kid, you tell them, hey, make sure, even if it's something bad, like embarrassing you in front of your peers or something, or being just blatantly disrespectful, right? And it just, that's my thing right now. Like, Chloe, she's a toddler. My daughter's 3. And she likes to be, she's challenging everything. And I'm like, why aren't you this little girl who just did everything I said and be a robot anymore, right? So, and it sounds bad, like if you're not a parent, you probably think that's super controlling, but you don't understand. So, I think as a parent, we see it as, you know, if my kid would do that, I don't love her any less. Am I disappointed? Absolutely. Will I correct her? Absolutely. But I still love her the exact same as I did before. And I think that's a lot of reason why God gave us the ability to reproduce, because it's a direct image of a parent and a child of how he is with us. There's nothing my daughter will ever do to get me away from that. There's nothing, I don't care what she does, I will love her no matter what. Parents, am I right? Yeah, there's nothing I can do. Okay? So that's how God loves us. So why would he expect us to do that? Because he's already done it to us. Let's go in and look at, if I can get my iPad unlocked, 1 John 4, verse 19. We love others because he first loved us. Who's he? Who are we talking about when he says he first loved us? God, right? Jesus. God sent his only begotten son, right? So God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we could go to heaven, and then he was resurrected. Why would he... God will never ask you to do something that he hasn't done already himself. He'll never ask you to do something. That's why I love Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim will never ask me to do something he's not willing to do himself. That's a godly characteristic. I think it's one of those things to where when we look at it as people are enemy, when you build a fence, think about, let me put it this way. So when you build a fence, I don't know if I have, I'm trying to think of something I can use. I don't know if you guys have ever built a fence. John, I know you have. You come in and buy fences all the time. But when you build a fence, you start with a picket, right? And you have your 2x4s that go across, right? So I want you to think of every time you get offended, that's one of those fence pickets, right? And I stole this from Stephen Furtick, so if you ever see it again, that's from him. But it's a great message. When you build a fence, I want you to think of every time you get offended as a fence picket, okay? You build a fence, okay? You have a fence picket. Build another one. You have another fence picket. Build another one. A fence, a fence, a fence, a fence, a fence, a fence. And all of a sudden, your neighbor that's on the other side of the fence, you can't even see him because there's a fence in between you. All those little offenses built a fence. Does that make sense? So, right now, I guess just today, the message I want to share is just, we got to love, even when it's hard. We have to love. You know, I know we, and it's not one of those things where a lot of times people like to take stuff and they go one highway, one side of the ditch to the other. You know, there's a balance there. Yes, we should be Christ-like as Christians. But at the same time, our love for others shouldn't be based on how Christ-like they are. Everybody's got their dirt. Everybody's got skeletons in their closet, no matter who it is, right? Everybody has that. I think what we need more of is love, right? There's a reason why God would say that's the greatest commandment. If you fulfill this, everything's fulfilled. Love is mentioned roughly 500, depending on your translation, roughly 550 times. How many verses, how many things do you know that are mentioned that many times in the Bible? I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But yet, sometimes as believers, we like to take, you know, my thing is when I'm studying, if I can find three times in the Bible, if I can find three times, I don't search it out anymore. I know this is what God's telling me. 550 times, dude. That's a lot of times. Sometimes I feel like I've said, go pee-pee in the big girl potty 550 times, and my daughter doesn't listen. No, she does. We're getting there. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I just want to build you guys up and just let you know. I mean, that's what I want our church to be. It's just people. I want people to come in and just know that they're loved. No matter what, you're welcome here. We're a family. You know, when I have family members that do stupid stuff, it doesn't matter. They're my family. I still love them. That's what I want Westview Church to be. That's what I want our children's church to be. That's what I want our volunteers to be. That's what I want everything to be. I want everybody to know, hey, if you're going through something, you don't got to hide it. You don't have to be ashamed. Everybody makes mistakes. God knows it. I think a lot of times we like to try to, when we make mistakes, the first thing, at least me, maybe I'm by myself, but the first thing, I try to bury it. I'm like, okay, how are we going to keep this from not getting out so not everybody thinks I'm as crazy as I am? I think that's the first thing. You, like we said, with Chloe, she's a toddler. As soon as she'll lie, and as soon as she lies, as soon as she makes up a fib, I say, you know, did you pee your pants? No. Are you sure you didn't? You sure you didn't pee your pants? Because your leg's wet. No, Daddy, no pee. No pee, Daddy. I'm like, I feel like me cleaning this in 5 seconds is going to completely destroy your argument. But that's what we do with God, right? We make a mistake and we're like, well, I don't want to look at it. I want to ignore that it ever happened. We, by accepting our flaws, and that's how we can grow on them. If you never are honest with God, you'll never be able to build your faith and become a better person. Right? If I'm getting angry, if we're talking about irritable, sometimes that's a struggle for me. If you know me outside of here, I've grown a lot when it comes to just not just jumping the gun, you know, the patience, and just giving people love even when I feel like they don't deserve it. So when we look at that, though, I mean, it's one of those things. If you're irritable, you can't just ignore it. You think about, and if you're married, if you're just, you just treat your spouse however the heck you want, and then you just never talk about it again. Yeah, it's gone. It's over. Your spouse is going to be pretty upset, right? So, but at the same time, we're never going to grow, right? And that's a little bit different because you're unified through Christ, right? You're one person. But it's just, it's one of those things to where it really hurts me personally when I'm, especially social media, bro, I'm about to just get rid of all of it and move out into the boondocks and live by myself. But but I love you guys too much to do that. But it's one of those things to where it breaks my heart when I see Christians arguing with other Christians, whether it be on social media, over stupid stuff, like just micro things. Like I want to get to the truth as much as anyone else. But right now, there is enough division in the world. We need to love each other, guys. Bad. I mean, I want us to be the start of that. That's what my desire, that's what my prayer for our church is. And to be able to instill that in kids, because that is the most important thing. And I think, you know, you look at kids, they're one of the most innocent beings on our planet. They're loving. They're like dogs, man. They love no matter what. You know, I think that our world, right? Who's the God of this world? Satan, right? Our world tries to mold them into being a hateful, selfish, put work over your family, put everything above everything that God says, the world's going to try to do the opposite, right? Our Bible tells us that. We know that. So I think it's important as adults to kind of rehardwire our brain. You know, you do things, there's so many things that I'll talk to Christine and I'm like, she'll be like, you know, what made you feel this way? Or why do you do this thing? I'm like, I don't know. That's the way my dad did it. I just do it that way. And you don't realize as you're growing up how much your past affects you. It's just the way it is. You don't question it. You don't challenge it, right? And so that's kind of another thing that I want to do is just challenge yourself so you can grow. Challenge yourself. If you have a hard heart towards something, or if maybe it is. Maybe it's your relationship with your dad. Maybe it's God. You know, I think that's something we don't talk about a lot. A lot of times things can happen to us and we ask ourselves, well, God, how could you let that happen? Right? Maybe that's it. Maybe it's, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your relationship with your child. Maybe it's someone that cut you off on the roundabout and you got to keep yourself from saying some harsh things. That's my own personal one. But maybe that's what it is. I want everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes. I just kind of want to pray just that our hearts be more open and just more understanding. God, help us to see things from other people's perspectives. Help us to love them even when they don't love us. Help us to just be who you want us to be. Help us to be more like you. I know I didn't deserve it when you loved me. Help me to love other people with that same love. I just want everybody to just kind of pray. Ask yourself in your heart, is there something that you need to let go of? Is there something that maybe hurts you that you never thought about? Maybe it's something that you've never even thought about, but I believe that you're in your heart, God will tell you. The Holy Spirit will let you know. And just let it go. Just imagine a river washing it away. God, I just thank you today. I thank you that you help us with that. Whatever these people are going through, I thank you that you help us to be more like you. And I pray that you help us to see those times when maybe we're acting unlike ourselves. Maybe we're not acting like 1 Corinthians 13. I just thank you that you help us to be who you want us to be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as my grandpa would say, let's go eat. So yeah, guys, thanks for letting me talk to you. I know it's short. I'm used to little kids, so. But yeah, thanks for letting me talk to you. Short and to the point. We got her done, so. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.